Spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews, "You sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept testimony from a human being, but I say this so that you may be saved. John was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have testimony greater than John's. The works that my Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How lucky we are today. You know, one of the experiences of Advent is 6 out of 7 years we get gypped. We don't get the whole thing, all of the preparation that the church gives us. Last time we had this reading in Advent was about 12 years ago because of the way the leap years have worked. What an extraordinary gift it is that we've got the full preparation this phase of Advent, because these readings today normally get truncated. And so the way we pay attention to them is not just for this Advent, but for the next several Advents, because we won't hear them as December 17th comes earlier in the Advent season and it shifts to phase two. What do we learn today? We learn something about John the Baptist, and we learn something even more important about Jesus. First, about John the Baptist. John testified to the truth. He's a truth teller, not just with respect to Herod and the teaching about marriage, but most importantly about Christ and about the conversion we need in order to be able to relate to him. Testified to the truth. He was also a burning and shining lamp. He was on fire, and he radiated God's light. And Jesus testified that for a while others were content to rejoice in his light. They found some happiness. They enjoyed it. Fair enough. It was great to know that you were living in the time of a prophet, that you could go out there and this was a person who could set you on that path to God. Excellent. But as Jesus was saying this, he knew that it was the prostitutes and the tax collectors who dwelled in the light of John. Others were tickled by it, but they didn't really allow conversion, as we heard at the end of yesterday's Gospel from St. Luke. Jesus wants to give us something far more than contentment, far more than enjoyment. So yes, John was that burning and shining lamp, testifying to the truth, especially the most important one of all, that the kingdom is at hand. But that we have to go beyond contentment with regard to it, and we'll see what that second step is. There's something likewise in this gospel in which Jesus says about himself. First, I don't accept testimony from a human being, that Jesus is going to fulfill his mission, not just because John pointed him out as the Lamb of God. John qua son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. But John's testimony was part of the works of God. John's testimony was a testimony of the Father through John. But not even that's enough. The very end, when Jesus says, "I have a testimony greater," he says, that testimony is the works that the Father's doing through me, works that the Father gave me to accomplish. These works I perform testify on my behalf that the Father sent me, that I am the long-awaited Messiah sent by God. And what are those works? We've heard them throughout Advent. exactly as Isaiah prophesied that the Son of Man would accomplish. Jesus was giving the blind sight. He was making the deaf hear. He was making the lame walk. He was cleansing the lepers. He was raising the dead. Jesus was doing all of these works. As we heard both on Sunday and on Wednesday this week, blessed is the one who doesn't take scandal in the way Jesus was living that Messiah, living as Messiah. And then Jesus would fulfill all the other prophecies as well, especially those about the suffering servant, about the just one beset and betrayed, about the one whose clothing would be won by a game of lots, whose throat would be parched. All of it Jesus was fulfilling. So that as we heard last Good Friday, Jesus, when he said Tetelestai, in his fifth word from the cross, was saying all of these Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled. It's that testimony, all the miracles God the Father worked, the extraordinary miracle of the Incarnation, testified that he was the one sent by the Father. Now we get to why. Where do all of these works tend? Pope Francis, several years back in his first year as papacy, was very clear, and we had a chance to focus on it in the Year of Mercy. Everything Jesus did, all his preaching, all his miracles, all his exorcisms, everything, was just communicating to us the bigger lesson that he was redeeming the world. He's coming into our world to redeem it all. A far greater gift. And we get a prophecy of what is the meaning of that gift in today from Isaiah. God was coming into this world to build a house of prayer. Let the foreigner say, not. When he would join himself to the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. No, he will not, God saying through Isaiah. All the foreigners, all that the Jews at the time of Jesus still were thinking were fit for nothing other than to be straw for the fires of Gehenna if they weren't coursing with Jewish blood. Let him not say, the Lord will exclude me. Because the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, ministering to them, loving the Lord's name, becoming his servants, I will bring to my holy mountain and make not contend, but truly full of joy in my house of prayer. Their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. And then with words that Jesus himself would cite later, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. What's that about? First level is that God wants everyone to come to his house to pray. Not just so that he can receive the adulation and adoration of the nations, but fundamentally because of what prayer is. God wanted to enter into an intimate relationship with every single one of his sons and daughters. He wanted to engage in that loving dialogue. Dialogue not of words, not of ideas, but of persons. God was calling everyone. That's key to redemption. God with us came to be with us so that we could enter into an existential relation with him. That's redemption. But as deep as that is, it's just still scratching the surface. Because the temple that would be that house of prayer would be Jesus' body. The whole incarnation was Jesus' tabernacle and himself with us. And he was inviting all of us, not just physically inside that tabernacle, but to enter into his body. All of the works that the Father had given him to do that testify on his own behalf was to enflesh us within his own flesh in a covenant of love that could never be rent asunder. The whole mystery of Christmas that by Christ sharing in our humanity, we would have the chance to partake of his divinity, as we proclaim on Christmas Day in the opening prayer. It's in the temple of Jesus' body that we become the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit that St. Paul testifies to. It's there that we're called to bring all our sacrifices, most especially our logikē latreia, the only worship that makes sense, ourselves, offering our bodies as a holy and living and acceptable sacrifice to the Father. It's in Jesus' body that we are meant to have that loving heart-to-heart dialogue, which again, prayer is not about exchanged words or thoughts. Prayer is ultimately about an exchange of persons in love. That's why Jesus came into the world. He wants to give us something more than temporary contentment in the burning and shining light of someone pointing to him. He wants to give us everlasting joy in his holy temple, so that we will live forever in communion with him. And through that communion, in a communion of saints with each other, and with all those in the great cloud of witnesses, cheering us to act on these words. So none of us is excluded. No one we will ever serve is meant to be excluded. But our whole task is to lead them to the Lord, so that they too might experience this communion by becoming bridges through our own prayer and through our own life, so that others likewise may be able to offer themselves together with Jesus to the Father. The greatest work of Jesus of all, which fulfills this mystery, is God with us here on this altar. The source and the summit of our life as Christians is what we are now doing, because this is when we tabernacle ourselves from the inside out with Jesus. And in that relation, he wants to fill us with joy. Come, let us go up to this house of the Lord. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.